Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Bruce Pierce with Women's Healthcare Podcast. I'm with my partner, Dr. Asha Proctor, again today, and we're going to discuss menopause and perimenopause. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a topic, right, Dr. Proctor?
Yes.
That we hear quite often.
Absolutely.
And I think I want to start off there. I have a list of frequently asked questions.
Mm-hmm.
And this question was compiled by mm-hmm. the dog walkers club in my neighborhood.
Okay.
So this is...
So women that
women
are
who are in
perimenopause
in the age mm-hmm. range appropriate for perimenopause and menopause
mm-hmm.
Have these questions that they are have on their mind. And maybe I'll just...
Are scared to ask their doctors?
Either...
Embarrassed?
Both. Or maybe they asked and did not maybe get the answer they were looking for.
Right.
Or, I'll give you an or. Some doctor says... do this, and then another one of the doctors says, don't do that.
Mm,
and so they got
mm-hmm,
conflicting mm-hmm. opinions
yeah.
from their provider.
Yes.
And now they're confused because person X is doing this, but their doctor said, don't do what person X is doing. So I guess maybe we just wanted to clear the air. Maybe there's two of us, so we have two. Maybe see if our opinions match
mm-hmm. okay.
on these questions. How's that
okay.
sound?
That sounds
and then
good.
You could, if I missed anything, you could add or subtract.
Okay.
How's that sound?
That sounds
all
good.
Right. All right. So, Chris Holt, Dr. Proct, Dr.
Yes.
Usher. We've, even though we've met on a previous podcast, let's say somebody's listening to this podcast first.
Okay.
Who are you?
My name is Asha Proctor, and uh-huh. I'm a general OBGYN,
uh-huh.
And I've been practicing since 2005.
And you're now at Delaware Valley
I'm at Delaware Valley OBGYN for about 14 years now.
With offices in Lawrenceville and East Windsor.
Absolutely, yes.
And what hospital do you work at?
Penn Medicine, Plainsboro, Princeton, is that what we call it now? The
Penn
former
Medicine,
Princeton Hospital.
Princeton Medical Center
mm-hmm.
at Plainsboro.
Yes. That sounds about right.
Sound about right?
Sounds about right.
Okay, good. All right, so thank you, Dr. Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one from the Dog Walkers Club.
Okay.
What supplements can I take for hot flashes?
What supplements? Well, you know, definitely. I mean, they're just saying like what over the counter things.
It sounds like over the counter, non hormonal, maybe herbal things.
Well, I mean, a lot of times, you know, say what if you're using like the estroven type
mm-hmm.
products. I mean, they are plant based, but it's still like a soy based type product,
right.
but it's still like a weak estrogen. So, I mean, it's still I think would be considered something. In the
and
hormonal range.
Correct
yes.
me if I'm wrong. I think mm-hmm. estroven, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or estroven?
It's estroven.
Estroven
mm-hmm.
is black cohash and a soy
mm-hmm.
product,
mm-hmm.
is that, if I'm not mistaken.
It's soy. It's soy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, so I think I'm going to agree with you. A lot of my patients aren't into the hormone thing and they're a little nervous about it.
And definitely they'll, you know, ask
effect.
About.
Yeah.
Black cohosh,
mm-hmm.
But also to say, you know, there's not great support that it would be very like helpful and effective in decreasing their hot flashes.
Right.
The black cohosh product.
Yeah, I found if it's going to work, it's going to work in the first 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and if it doesn't, it's probably not going to work. But it's herbal; it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are some studies that say it may raise your blood pressure, but I don't think it does it significantly. But
right. And also to say, you know, definitely, you know, sometimes I'll discuss with patients like about using like antidepressants, like Effexor, to see if that will help decrease their hot flashes. You know, discussing, you know, if they have to use a blood pressure medicine, maybe even considering clonidine, even some like a gabapentin or Neurontin, other prescription medications for for other reasons have shown a benefit as well in, you know, decreasing the hot flashes. But I do, you know, tell them that generally, you know, the gold standard of treatment probably would be, it would be hormone. It would be estrogen, HRT.
What about hormones and risks of breast cancer and cardiovascular defects?
Well, one, I do feel as if, you know, you do have to kind of make sure we're looking at the right patient population, just having that discussion more so with good candidates or patients that have decreased, or they have a small number, I guess, of risk factors for cardiovascular disease. Hopefully they don't have, you know, other comorbidities, you know, obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, things of that nature. So we definitely take that into account. But to say, you know, we, and I tell this to my patients, I can't say there is zero risk in using estrogen hormone and the risk of, you know, breast cancer, uterine cancers, you know, I can't say there is no risk. I mean, I definitely tell them that the risk is small, but you can definitely never guarantee,
right,
you know, that there's not that possibility over time.
Yeah, I do the same. I mm-hmm. basically say, you know, unfortunately, it works the best. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, again, is probably the most risky. It certainly works better than herbals,
mm-hmm.
But there's risk. However, mm-hmm. to mitigate those risks or to minimize them, we try to keep women on the lowest possible dose mm-hmm. for the shortest period of time. So,
But to say, I do still feel like probably even within our like OBGYN community, it's definitely a lot of differing opinions.
Oh, I mean, some docs are, or providers, I should say, are dead set against it and won't even consider.
Yeah, and some
and others, like the minute they put you on hormones before you even hit menopause, right, just to
so I'm sure for
decrease
women,
the effects. Yeah.
They, you know, they definitely feel as if they, I'm sure, get conflicting answers or conflicting suggestions depending on, you know, who they talk to and what would be the best thing to help them with their hot flashes. And I think sometimes, you know, women feel like, though, you know, people kind of like, well, just deal with it. It's not that bad.
Right. So in case there are any conflicts, the good news is the people listening could know that we're correct and everybody else is wrong. So,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, basically, you know what? Like everything, you need to individualize it. You
absolutely.
Know?
So, right. And also, their family history.
And also what the patient wants, you know.
Absolutely.
Usually, I start the conversation talking about hormones, and usually people are against it in the first three. I didn't even get the last owns out.
Right.
They said, no, absolutely not.
But I do think it just really is depending on, I feel like, how symptomatic they are and really how it's impacting their quality of life. I mean, that's the biggest factor.
On the flip side, I have women who are absolutely miserable and they're having a poor quality and they're worried about going on hormones and when mm-hmm. they actually could benefit the most.
Absolutely.
All right. Next question.
Yes.
All right. Let's say somebody's period stopped last year mm-hmm. and then it started again and they thought they were done, but then they weren't done.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it calls just a prolonged perimenopause,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Do they need protection, contraception for intercourse?
How old are they?
I mean, you're probably good. You're talking in your mid to upper 40s when you, I guess you usually see this.
You know, I discuss with my patients probably like after age 50. Usually that's when I'm saying, okay, I think we're good.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I do 50 as my cutoff as far as needing birth control, mainly because I said that's usually the point where the chance of getting pregnant on birth control and off birth control is about the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no difference, you might as well not take
the hormones.
You know, I usually get a lot of pushback. Oh, wait, Janet Jackson had a baby when
but
she
was
50.
Right. I'm sure that's most likely may not be natural conception. I can't say for sure. I don't really know.
We don't know. We're
right.
Not,
but that's not the
we agree. Sometimes, especially when in celebrities,
it's a different world.
And there's some we call assisted reproductive technologies.
Right.
So it's not a spontaneous pregnancy.
It's not always. Right. And I think that definitely makes it confusing for women when they see, you know, over and over women, you know, getting pregnant like very like their late 40s and early 50s. I mean, that's generally not the norm.
Right. Yeah. So I think we both agree that 50 is the cutoff. So probably should use something until then.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
All
right.
I would say.
Okay. What if somebody is in the middle of menopause? So I'm guessing that means, can they start the birth control pill in the middle of menopause? So I guess that means they're perimenopausal, I guess, not true menopause. By definition, menopause is 1 year of no period. So I guess middle, meaning maybe somebody's 6 months without a period. Can they start on a pill?
I mean, I think, well, one, or if I'm thinking they're maybe in their, what, mid to late 40s, we're thinking, and they're healthy.
Right.
Not a smoker, no high blood pressure, you know, no other risk factors, then I think they could.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And also, even if it's not for contraception, some women need to regulate their periods. Mm-hmm.
Or decrease their bleeding.
Exactly. So we're both okay.
Yes, we're good with that.
Next question. Sex is painful during menopause. What could be done about that?
Well, I would say that's probably the vaginal dryness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely. I feel like, you know, with women, with us, when we deal with menopausal issues, you know, the biggies, hot flashes, vaginal dryness, libido, weight gain.
Right.
There we go.
Correct.
But definitely I do also, you know, I do tell my patients, you know, one, you know, of course the gold standard would be probably vaginal estrogen.
Right.
But, you know, definitely you could aggressively use lubricants to help with sex.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many lubricants, not just like KY jelly and Astroglide. There are tons of lubricants on the market.
What's your go-to?
What's my faves?
Faves.
I guess, is it okay to, like, say product stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I like V-Magic.
If we're lucky, they could pay us money.
I like V-Magic. And that's an organic product. They sell it, like, Whole Foods, and you get it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely there's a product called, is it Halo, G-Y-N, Halogen?
Okay.
It's hyaluronic acid, and that one you get online. So I definitely tell my patients about those products and tell them you can use them as a moisturizer, definitely use them with sex.
Right.
But I do tell them, I'm like, use it or lose it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I do.
How about coconut oil?
Yeah, some people like that as well. But it's okay. I mean, definitely women like that as well. But those are my two go-tos. And there was another good one I liked.
Yes.
And that one was called Good Clean Love.
Okay, and I assume that is probably not in the supermarket.
It used to be, but now I only find it on Amazon.
Amazon.
You can get it on Amazon.
Look at Amazon.
Look at Amazon.
And Whole Foods, because now they're connected.
There you go. They're taking over the world.
You heard it here, everyone. And we are not related to those products.
No.
But if they want to support our podcast, they could reach out to me. All right. Okay, so next question.
Okay.
Painful breasts during menopause.
Hmm.
I don't get that one a lot, do you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really. I mean, definitely the hot flashes, definitely, and the vaginal dryness, definitely. So are they saying more so like if they're thinking they're going to get their period and they don't get their period, they feel like they're having like cyclical breast pain?
Correct. That's what I'm guessing.
Possibly. I mean, you know, it's almost like they're feeling like the PMS symptoms without the period.
Right. But if you never had breast pain before and you have it all of a sudden, definitely seek your doctor.
You just get it checked out.
Just check that, just to make sure the everything else is ruled out. And then it's possibly could be menopause related. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely anything like that, always, you know, seek the advice of a provider. You mentioned weight gain, so trouble losing weight.
Yeah.
What do you tell
patients
about that?
It sucks.
Yes.
And I definitely tell them, I'm like, you know, there's no, I feel like as we age, there's definitely, I think just even through our whole lives, there's no quick fix. Like there's, you know, some people may, you know, use like whether surgery or like medical, like weight loss programs, but I definitely tell them it generally will be decreasing your intake and exercise. But of course, your metabolism is slowing down, you know, as women when we transition through menopause. And I'm sure our body composition is changing with menopause.
Do you think it's a menopause thing or just an age thing?
I do think, of course, it's related to aging, but I definitely think for men and women, it's still different. I definitely feel like menopause just makes it, it just makes it so much harder. You know, women, like men feel like, okay, they can stop drinking beer and stop eating some bread and they like drop 5 pounds. Whereas women feel like, you know, they will work really restricting whether their calories or the carbs and working out, and they'll feel like they'll struggle to lose weight.
So even though they call it menopause, men have it better. What you're saying.
Always. All right. Always. Don't we know that, Bruce?
Speak for yourself. Okay. Next question is about facial hair. Extra facial hair.
You know what?
Hair.
Facial hair?
Yes.
And also, what about women with like aging, thinning of the hair?
Yes. Actually, that was two more down the list.
Yeah,
was hair loss. So what do you think about that?
I wish I could say I had answers to that one, but I feel like that's always...
That may be a hormone thing, because usually that means a little more testosterone going on, less because of, you know, women always have testosterone production, but the estrogen dominates.
So but then as the estrogen
reduces, the testosterone starts to dominate and you get those testosterone. Now, of course, a lot of that's your genetics.
Right.
And, you know, you have to look at your mother or grandmother and see if they had the similar
but also things. To say then what but for many women what can you do about it?
I mean, I think to me the only thing would be estrogen replacement would
but
be
it, would it really help hair growth though?
Maybe just to stop the loss would be okay, would be good, but it's an issue.
It is. I mean,
without a great answer.
And many times women, I think, will seek out, you know, dermatologists to try to see if they have any suggestions for that.
I don't think they have any answers either, to be honest.
Or we use, like, but I mean, I'm not even sure the cost of those, like, hair restoration type of resources. But and I have no idea what those cost.
You know, there are, of course, products out there, but...
Rogaine.
Yeah, that's, you know, possible. But if anything's going to help, it would be estrogen, but, you know, it's, you know...
It has its
pros and cons. So everybody, you have to just individualize it to the patient. But it is a part of it. Okay, next question. Is not sleeping well?
But I think is part of that just related for women that are dealing with like hot flashes and night sweats? Is it more of like a night sweat issue?
Yeah, I agree, because a lot of times when you have night sweats and hot flashes, you're losing sleep. And a lot of the symptoms you're having during the day are related to sleep loss, not necessarily menopause, but indirectly because you're losing sleep.
But also to say, I think, and sometimes too, another issue, this may not even be on your list, but to say, you know,
this is pretty comprehensive.
Women, you know, when we've had children and women who've had like vaginal births may have some bladder issues, some incontinence issues, and so definitely just
so getting
sometimes
up for
freak
that,
right
up for the bathroom, and then you can't sleep, and then you're fatigued during the day, and it's a cycle. I guess we don't have really too much of an answer, but again, estrogens may help if it's disruptive to your lifestyle.
I think
lifestyle.
It's really right. I think really. Always the kind of final, the answer is, well, how much is it impacting the quality of your life?
Right.
Yeah.
Next question is more headaches. Some people, I guess, get more headaches after
postmenopausally.
Yeah. I guess everybody's different with that. Headaches is multifactorial.
Right. That one would be a little bit hard. I don't really see that as something that people complain to me a lot about.
Sometimes, you know, menopause gets the bad rap. You know, any symptom you have, when you're in menopause,
really
it's because
menopause.
Of menopause, but it's not always. Sometimes it has its own root.
I'm just trying to think, like, if women have issues with, like, menstrual migraines, are these the women that are saying that they notice more headaches?
So I'm going to say if you have headaches that are new, probably needs to be worked up maybe by a neurologist first before relating it to
menopause.
Yeah. Now here's the big one, loss in sex drive.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I think it's true, but I also think it's because, like I say, for women, we're not like men. Like, I feel like men.
Really?
I feel like men could be
You heard it here first.
Yeah. I feel like men, it doesn't matter like how they look, how much weight they gain. They don't care. They always want to have sex. It's true. right?
I have no comment.
Blind, crippled, or crazy. They'll still want to have sex. But I think for women, you know.
I'm offended.
No, you're not.
But go ahead.
But to say, I think for women, you know, just I think with aging, you know, these changes that are happening to us, sometimes weight gain, sometimes we may not, you know, feel like ourselves or, you know, and definitely we live in a society where it's not as easy for women to age. Like men can be distinguished and they always look great with aging. But where for women, you know, once you get of a certain age, sometimes you feel like you're disposable, you know, you're just, no one sees you anymore. You know?
Which is not true.
But I do think sometimes, you know, those factors can impact your desire to have sex, how you're feeling about yourself. Well, and definitely if you're having painful sex.
Right.
Sometimes you're just like, I'm done.
Right.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, even if your desire was on the borderline, if it starts to hurt, then you're done.
Yeah.
So, we have something for that we mentioned earlier, what we could do for the painful sex. So, if it's not from painful sex and it's just a dry, what do you tell the patients?
I tell them.
First of all, this is the question we get asked
at the
end of the visit when we're halfway out the door. By the way.
Yeah. But I feel like I get this from women of all ages. You know, it's not just with menopause. Like I say, and I told you before, you know, when you have young kids, women with young kids, they're like, I am tired. I'm exhausted. I'm working. I'm dealing with small kids. Your kids are all over you. Like you're wearing your kids like your book bag, you know, they're all over you.
Sometimes more than one book bag.
Right. But they're not all over the dad all the time. Like literally they're like sitting on top of you. Right. And sometimes by the end of the night, Bruce, you're like, I'm all touched out. I don't want any more touching, right? But I do tell women.
Which is in conflict with the man.
Absolutely. And I tell, but you know what? My husband said this to me one time because, you know, we talk about these things or whatever because you feel them in your own relationship, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Like I tell women all the time, I joke and laugh with them because I feel for them because I know it. You just know it yourself. You're like, you give to your children, you give to your job, but you can't ignore your husband. Right.
That's right.
And I remember one time my husband.
She said that. Not
I
me,
did.
Ladies.
And I said to my husband said to me one time, he's like, you know, if you lose that intimacy in your relationship, he's like, well, what are we? He's like, are you just roommates? And that's you have to look at that as well. Right.
Right. Okay.
And I feel like
I'm pleading the fifth.
No, I'm just telling you from a woman's perspective now. Right. I'm just talking as a woman.
Right.
And I'm talking as a woman, I feel like who's gone through all of these different phases.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I feel like we give to every, I feel like for women, we're always our givers and we're caregivers. But I do feel like we can't ignore our husbands. And I tell him, I was like, you know, you do your job for everyone else and we have to do our job for our husband. But I do say, you know, there's not this magic pill for us. There's
right.
not this Viagra that's just going to make it great. I mean, I know there's certain products out there.
Yeah, what about the pill? There's a pill called Addy.
I haven't had.
ADDYI.
Right,
no,
I haven't.
No relation to the company.
Right.
But if they want to sponsor, okay. Yes.
I mean, I've had patients that have been on it, and they felt like it was a benefit, but it's not something I've used. I've had a large number of patients on.
Yeah, I've used about a dozen times.
Right.
Think it's great. Half think right. says it does nothing.
So. But also, but to say that is for premenopausal women. That's
it's not
for postmenopausal women.
I do it anyway because I don't like to discriminate.
Right. But how much does it cost for the postmenopausal woman? Or does
well,
it
used to be very expensive, but I think now it goes through this pharmacy, this mail away,
okay.
and it's a lot cheaper.
Okay.
And they took. There used to be this restriction that you can't drink any alcohol. They removed that restriction fairly recently.
But I do tell women. I'm like, I do feel like for women. It's not just like a blood flow issue, like say for a man. For a woman, it is definitely, you know, it's like I say, it is multifactorial. And I told you, I went to this huge like sexual health conference, and you know, remember I did that a couple years ago because I was like, I want to figure this. I want to know what information to give to patients or suggestions, because it is an issue that we deal with over and over again. And literally, Bruce, by the end, I felt like there was no real answer. It was just like, but to tell my patients, like, there's really nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. And definitely, you know, if you say to yourself, like, mentally, you know, to try to make it show you and your husband are kind of meeting in the middle on this, you know?
Right.
You may not be trying to have sex, like, every night or every other night, but at least trying to commit to, you know, having
some
sex.
Some compromise.
Some compromise. Right. But, you know, even if you feel like, you know, you're initially not, that's not was not your desire, if you are saying, okay, we're going to try to commit to having sex at least once or twice a week, many times women will definitely still be able to become aroused and still orgasm.
Right, right.
So it's not, you shouldn't always, like, I feel like, be in the head to say, oh, there's something wrong with me, I don't desire it, you know, I won't be able to have sex. Because that's not the case. But I do think women, you know, have to use the lubrication postmenopausally if they're having dryness and pain, and really try to stretch the... Right. I don't know if I should say the word on the podcast.
As long as it's, yeah, you can say any word you want, as long as it's anatomically
correct.
Correct.
Have to stretch your vagina.
You can say vagina.
I can say
pretty,
vagina.
Pretty sure. I agree. Also, I've been to many courses on sexual dysfunction. I guess I kind of like to say it's one of my, you know, fields that I'm interested in. But again, as you said, at the there's no real answer, number one. Number two, a lot of it's about communication with the couple.
Mm-hmm.
You have to marry, you can't say man and woman anyway. It's
right, the couple. Right, you're right, I'm sorry.
Yes. So, and it's I think the person who wants sex more wants to just be reassured that it's not them. It's not like you don't find them attractive anymore and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
They want to know it's not that.
Right.
So once they really, and you know, you don't want to, you know, it's normal, but you also, like you said, you want to compromise and just make sure there's discussion.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
actually there's, and what they found is every couple's
how much they want
idea
to have sex.
Of how much they want to have sex,
yeah,
is different.
Absolutely.
So and as long as it's the both parties of the couple agree, then there's no issue.
Right.
So
yes.
So it's all about communication, discussing, see what is everybody requires it, you know,
in their relationship.
In relationship, and then compromise to some degree.
I think that's so I feel like in the end
we
that's
figured it out. This is that is
that's the
answer.
So we should do a course. We should teach a course.
I think we just started. All right. I think we're getting towards the end. I guess one question, I don't know if I understand. What's the difference between menopause and pregnancy menopause? Have you heard of pregnancy menopause? I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that term, so I'm not sure what
that's
trying to describe.
Maybe that's a layman's term.
Or is that like, say, if a woman... I was just wondering, like, say, sometimes when a woman is breastfeeding.
Right. Or, you know, sometimes or if they're on the pill continuously, that they don't get a period. That, so some people call that like a menopause. Like a
pregnancy. I was thinking, like, because sometimes definitely with, say, postpartum, you know, women, when they're, you know, breastfeeding, they're not getting a period, they can definitely, like, have the vaginal dryness issues.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I was just wondering.
Okay, so, but there to us, there's nothing known as pregnancy menopause.
Yeah, I would have to
research
that one. And okay. To understand
I think one redundant, they thought they couldn't get pregnant. And, again, I think we said 50.
Yeah.
Is our age where you're not?
I'm not as
unlikely,
worried about.
Very highly. You never say never in our business, and there's always a, you know, but
highly,
but it's highly unlikely to get
and
us.
And it would be a viable pregnancy too.
Right. The miscarriage rate for somebody in their upper 40s, and if it was low 50s, it would be, you know, very high miscarriage.
Right.
Rate.
Yeah.
So again, we're calling 50 as when you don't need contraception, unless you had other means of contraception. And the last question,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, maybe I can answer it and you don't.
Okay.
But no, we'll both. Do I still need an annual pap and mammogram after menopause?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Could I answer?
Well, you can do
I'll
that
answer
one.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go first. My answer is, yeah. My quick answer is yes. But it's a little complicated because the pap smear guidelines are changing and they're spacing them, mm-hmm, out. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of that because I fear that if you space them out and let's say one was read incorrectly, what we call a false negative, meaning it was something was there and it was written, then you really have a long gap between properly read. That's my issue. But if you look at the current guidelines, you could go between 3 to 5 years as long as you have HPV, human papillomavirus testing with it.
But what if you have a new partner or,
Well, that's not in the guidelines.
Right. If people have different partners.
My patients out there who are my patients, they know I have them come in every year for a pap. And if they're over 40, I order a mammogram every year and I do a pap every year. The guidelines say pap smears every 3 to 5 years as long as there's HPV co-testing. And mammograms, it's age 40 to 50, it's every 1 to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And after age 50, it's yearly, honestly, until 80 to me. So mammograms for sure. I think we could both agree mammograms for sure. Now, I'll also add that even though you're not coming, let's say you're not getting a pap, you're in between your guidelines, an annual exam is still okay. You can still get a breast exam and a pelvic. You know, because a lot of things are picked up on the annual exam.
But I do tell patients, like, you know, if they have a primary that is comfortable doing those things, then, you know, that's fine. So I leave it up to them. But they should be definitely getting checked yearly in some sense, whether by us or.
Right. I know a lot of primary care doctors do not do a pelvic exam.
Right. Right, that's what I say, if they feel comfortable doing that, you know.
So I'm going to say we maybe both agree that a yearly pelvic checkup, pelvic breast exam, and pap, depending on the guidelines and everybody's comfort level, and mammogram, according to the American Cancer Society guidelines, which is 40 to 50 ages every 1 to 2 years, over 50 every year. Now, I do know that after age 65, the Medicare only pays for a exam every 2 years. So, just FYI, over 65.
So, what do you think about thermography? Because I've definitely had patients bring that up and ask me about it.
What I think about it, I mean, to me, it's not the standard of care. I don't think it is replacing a mammography. So I'm cautious of it. I know people are worried about radiation, but radiation in a mammogram is minimal. I'm going to say, well, I know it's 0.2 millirads. I think your microwave oven has more than that, to be honest. So, and also you're only getting it once a year, so there's no chronic exposure. Dental x-rays have much more radiation than mammograms, and nobody minds going to the dentist. They get their teeth x-rayed, you know, et cetera. So... I'm a mammogram believer. If there is an alternative, or when it's proven to be better, different story. But until then, you're taking a chance that it's not better than a mammogram, and maybe you're missing something. What do you think?
I do agree. You agree? No, with me? Okay. I agree.
Okay. All right, Dr. Asha Proctor. That is all the time we have for today. And this is Dr. Bruce Pierce and Dr. Asha Proctor, and this is Women's Healthcare.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.